Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me. And welcome. If this is your first time, very cool of you to stop by. I'm glad you're here. And I think you're going to find this isn't quite your typical business interview podcast. And that's also kind of what we're going for. If you have been here before, welcome back. I absolutely appreciate you being here, as always. And I don't want to take any more of your time, so let's jump into it. My guest today is truly disrupting and transforming an industry, fighting to retain its hold on the market. In 2003, with his wife and co-founder, they started in their garage with no outside funding of any sort and created what is now Zenni Optical. If you are a glasses-wearing individual like myself, then you've heard of and possibly even purchased a pair of glasses or two from Zenni. But their growth has been staggering. As they celebrate their 15th year anniversary this year, they are also celebrating 24 million pairs of glasses sold worldwide and currently are selling at a rate of 15,000 pairs per day. What started as two people in their garage now has nearly 1,000 employees worldwide, including one of the largest end-to-end manufacturing facilities in the world. Now, let's hack. Tibor Lakse. Hey, listen up. If you are a small business owner, this is for you. Running a business, it's just plain hard. Endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, and your ever-present bottom line. So, first of all, kudos for staying on top of it. Well done. And I want to tell you about Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage your payroll, benefits, and more. They help over 100,000 businesses with tasks like automated payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, onboarding tools, you name it, Gusto made it easy. Plus, you can make contractor payments with Gusto, because Gusto makes it easy to pay your contractors today and W-2 employees tomorrow. And since money can be tight right now, you'll even get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/hack and start setting up your business today. You'll see what I mean when I say easy. Again, that's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/hack. Let's pretend for a moment you're about to launch a campaign. It's tested well, your entire team is happy, everything is going according to plan, except for that one thought in the back of your head. How do I ensure that the people I want to target will be in the mindset to receive this message? The answer? LinkedIn. Because when you market on LinkedIn, your message reaches people who are ready to do business. And that means your advertising campaign will work as hard as it can as soon as you launch it. LinkedIn can and will help you reach your short and long-term business goals. They offer tools for brand building and lead generation. Not only can you target and reach professional audiences down to their job title, company name, and location, but you can engage people you already know based on who's visited your site and who you've contacted in the past. You can even customize your campaign based on the action you want your customers to take. Do business where business is done. Get a $100 advertising credit towards your LinkedIn campaign. Visit LinkedIn.com/hack. LinkedIn.com/hack. Terms and conditions apply. We're back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today I want to welcome a very, very special guest to the show, Tibor. Welcome. And to get started, I would like to know just how somebody who doesn't even wear eyeglasses gets into the eyeglass industry.
I've been into a lot of different areas. I started out in electronic engineering, physics and math and astrophysics. And then eventually got an MBA and started managing businesses, mostly in the technological area, but a lot of very different markets. So when I got a little bored with what I was doing back about 17 years ago. I started looking around at other opportunities. And I've never been in the eyeglass business. I had no intention or any kind of awareness about it, really, since I never wore eyeglasses. Still don't. But by pure chance, I got shoved into looking at the eyeglass industry. And it really became, to me, very inspiring that this industry could seriously use some revolution, especially with the advent of the internet marketing. So one could directly market to the end consumer as opposed to using eyeglass stores. Old story. A lot of industries have discovered that. And then, but the whole idea was that in order to really provide, I mean, the inspiration was really providing inexpensive eyeglasses to the world that don't have availability to it. They either can't afford it, or it's a major financial burden to them. And so that was really the inspiration. And then the perspiration, you might say, which is how do we do this, is to totally bypass the industry. So I have to become my own manufacturer and my own retailer. And so be totally vertically integrated, because if you become part of the industry, you have no effect on the final price. It's still going to be that very high price. And part of it has to do with the whole process of how the industry evolved regulation-wise, but also the major overhead costs are involved in eyeglass retail industry. So if I would have, I mean, you had mentioned that, okay, what advice I would give to potential entrepreneurs, the advice I get is forget the money. That's not what's going to make you successful. Have some passion for something. And that's where you got to start. You have to have some real interest, some real passion for something. And then see how you can make that into a good business that solves a problem. That solves a problem for people and makes their lives better. That's really sort of a key to entrepreneurship if you want to do it that way. Now, most entrepreneurships are not like that, and yet a lot of them are successful. And that has to do with very good execution, which is very important. So it's not just the inspiration of what drives you, it's passion is what you want to do. Then a very big challenge still is actually proper execution. And so there's most actually fairly successful companies out there really don't have something very unique or disruptive, which they love to talk about. But they're still successful because they did a very good execution, good marketing, good brand management. But that doesn't inspire me. And I don't think that's a really way to go about it if you want to be an entrepreneur. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, again, don't focus on the money. Don't focus on that. Focus on something you're passionate about. And it has to be something that solves the problem, that helps people. And then you still have the challenge of really executing it well. And if that comes together, yeah, that's where success is. And if you don't focus on the money, but focus on how you can really, really solve a problem and help people, the money will come.
Right. And so you didn't have a passion necessarily about eyeglasses to begin with. You don't even wear them. But by pure chance, this idea was brought to you. And then you became passionate about bringing inexpensive eyeglasses to those who couldn't afford them.
Exactly.
So you can be passionate sort of about the market, and you don't necessarily need to be passionate about the product itself.
Yes, but look at the product. Look at what it does. It helps people to see clearly. And to a huge percentage of the world, literally billions of people, this is an absolute necessity for just plain survival, to be able to learn, to read, to get a job, to function. And so sight is an extremely important sense. We obtain, 80% plus of all the information we obtain about the world and function has to do with sight. And so in that sense, eyeglasses are a vital part for billions of people out there. And it's basically by historical evolution, it's a very expensive product. And not only that, it has limited availability to billions of people out there. And so that is kind of inspiring that, okay, I think I can change that. I can actually help people with that. So that's, yes, that I found very inspiring.
And in 2003, like you said, not much was even sold online at the time. And like lots of industries, they had to be sort of changed and brought online. But eyeglasses, to me, Tibor, had that extra hurdle, which is sizing and prescriptions. How was it that you, unlike a t-shirt, where it's like, well, I'm kind of a medium, how did you overcome that hurdle?
First of all, I didn't care about it at all, in the sense that I thought this was a tremendous method of how I actually provide eyeglasses to people. So the challenge of, okay, sizing and prescriptions, those were totally not secondary or tertiary, but somewhere down on the fourth level. So that's just basically hurdles to overcome in order to be able to help people find the right size and fit prescription and whatnot. Yes, it's a challenge. It's obviously a challenge. But I was never concerned with who's going to actually buy glasses online and overcome that. It never concerned me. And it still doesn't. And the point is, I feel we're providing a fantastic service, fantastic solution to a problem that people have out there. Now, yeah, our website does the best possible job of them actually trying out a pair of eyeglasses and actually selecting the proper lenses, proper coatings and whatnot for them to get the eyeglasses they really want. Yeah, those are secondary challenges. It is a bit challenging, but it's not that hard. You have to be imaginative. You have to try out this new medium of how you do it. And so these are part of the execution that, to me, you know, they're important, but that's not what's relevant when you first decide as to what you actually want to do.
And I feel like that's a part of it that would hold a lot of people back is, and to you, it's there, but it's way, way, way down the line. And I believe you said the biggest hurdle was having to bypass the industry.
Yeah. So in that sense, it was pretty challenging to basically design and build my own factories, hire the people, and do the execution right and build the website and all that. So, yeah, it was definitely challenging. And part of my success, you might say, that I'm kind of a person that did everything. I mean, I literally coded and designed the first website. I was the accountant. I was the one that swept the floors. So,
wow.
Yeah, I filed our taxes for the first 5 years, kept the books, answered phone calls, thousands of phone calls. So, yes. And if you want to start up a business, yeah, you have to sort of get yourself involved in everything at first to really get a feel for it. And it helps to have that ability to. So I was lucky in the sense that I had experience in literally designing buildings, building factories, and running large operations, building website coding and all that. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to hire people for all this. It helps to be sort of fascinated by everything and to really have a real curiosity for everything. Helps to be a voracious reader. You have to know what you don't know. That's, you know, very important thing. And you have to read a lot to realize how much you don't know. Yeah?
That's true. That's very, very true. So you had to sort of cover two bases of this company when you're starting it. You had to build your own factories and distribution, and then you also had to find the consumers.
Again, that's an area where I'm a techie. Okay? So in terms of marketing, finding the consumers, again, that was pretty far down the line of my concerns. And that's part of my makeup, in the sense that my attitude was, to some extent, which is not correct, is that if you build it, they will come. That's not truly true. But nevertheless, that's how I operated. Yeah. So marketing is not really something that I feel really at home with. I'm a techie, at home with technologies, all kinds.
So early on, did you realize this and know that you had to hire people to take the marketing side?
We didn't have a marketing department for the first 7 years. Okay? Literally, not zero. And when I opened that website, 95% of our marketing was Google AdWords. And when we started, we were very lucky. Again, if you're going to start something, it helps to have luck, but it helps to have proper analysis of the market so that the entry to the market is not that difficult. So when I started to, and people were searching for eyeglasses online, but to get to the page one on searches on AdWords, it costs about 25 cents. Now it's about $5, $6 or $7. So the cost has increased tremendously to enter into that market. When I did it, it was far, far cheaper. There were already a lot of people selling online at that point, but they were small companies and they were still totally stuck mentally in the brick and mortar mentality. So their prices were very high and their websites were pretty primitive and nobody was doing what I decided to do, which was be totally vertically integrated the way I designed it. When we opened the first website, for the first several years, we were growing 300-400% a year. Okay. Now we slowed down. We're only growing about 20%+ per year. Okay, that's slow by my sense. Okay. So but now we have all kinds of large marketing departments. But when we didn't have a marketing department, we were growing far, far faster. Yeah. I was lucky in that respect. And these factors are something that I totally ignored. I didn't care about it. I still don't in some respects. What I care about is what I can provide to people at the best possible price to help them with their visual challenges. I mean, that's it. Yeah. And it's really inspiring to be able to do that, to be able to reach out to people throughout the world and help them with their sight. It's just, it makes me happy to come to work every day.
Do you, as the CEO of, I believe, the first company to do this online, but now, like you said, there's a lot of, there's competitors all over. You still have a huge market share, but do you concern yourself or do you think about your competition at all?
My general attitude has been, and to some effect still is, not necessarily right attitude, but that's my attitude is, I don't care about the competition at all. What I care about is, what's the best I can do? That's really true.
Yeah.
So I try to do the best I can do. And in a lot of sense, my marketing department cares about the competition, but I don't. Not really. Again, that's not where I live.
Right, which is smart as the CEO. And you're looking just to help more and more people with their eyesight. Somewhere in this building of Zenni, you also started another company called IQ?
Yes. I started that a little over 3 years ago.
And can you explain IQ to us?
Sure. Basically, when you sell people eyeglasses, there's two parts to that product. One is the prescription, and the other one is the eyeglass itself. And so with Zenni, we've got a good start with providing the eyeglasses part. The other part is the prescription. And people have to go to an optometrist and to get a prescription, and it's time-consuming, it's pricey. So how do you actually now solve that problem to actually make it far, far cheaper and far more accessible to people? That's the whole point behind IQ. It actually goes a little further than that because eventually I hope to develop, and I'm working on it, that IQ through mobile medical. From a smartphone, you can diagnose major eye diseases, which is what, when you go to optometrists, they check you for macular degeneration, shadow and glaucoma, etc. So, again, to be able to provide those services for what? Less than a dollar. Okay? Yes. That's serious.
That is.
That's the whole point behind IQ, is to provide that other part of the eyeglasses, which is the prescription at first, and then eventually, basically, eye disease diagnosis for the major eye diseases, which is very much doable. So we have a product that we developed that actually a little inexpensive product that we sell for $30 that you attach to a smartphone and download an app. And in about 15 minutes, you will get your prescription. We can't call it a prescription because, at least not in the U.S.,
right.
Because that's federally controlled, the FDA controls it. So we call it eyeglass numbers. But basically, it's numbers that you can order an eyeglass with. To be somewhat of a braggart here, actually, that product gives you a more accurate prescription if you're over 35. Below that, it's just not as accurate or not more accurate than your optometrist. There's a reason for that. It's kind of detailed, but actually it does. So when they buy this device for $30, the entire family can use it. All their friends can use it. They can take a prescription every day, and it's still $30.
Wow.
Okay? Now, no, they're going to have to pay an annual subscription fee for us to support the database. And one of the things that that product does is that people can misuse it and not get very accurate numbers. But because of the distribution of their tests and the data points we get, which we actually go over it with a very sophisticated algorithm to analyze the numbers that they get, we can extremely accurately tell how accurate the results are. That's something optometrists cannot. They take one measurement for you, here's your measurement. They don't know how accurate or inaccurate it is. We do. That's what that product can do.
Wow. And you gave, I'm going to say your competition, but just other people, 12 years head start where they could have started something like this to give your customers at Zenni a way to get their numbers. You were patient, but then you had to start it yourself.
Well, I'm a little slow, you know. I should have started this longer.
But earlier. Bypassing the industry that you did with Zenni, now with Zenni and with IQ, I almost want to go out on a limb, Tibor, and say you're not even just bypassing them. Now you're actually sort of overtaking, should I say? I'm assuming somewhere in this 12 years or 15 years, I guess it is, that you've had some pushback and some blowback from the industry.
The industry cannot compete against online eyeglasses. It's a very different economics of scale. And we don't do the same service that an eyeglass store does. They fit in, they talk to them, saying, okay, this color looks good on you, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a much more personalized service. At our price, obviously, we cannot provide that kind of service. Okay, we try to do the best we can with the website. And we do answer several thousand phone calls a day and more emails and et cetera. So we try to engage with the customer as much as they'd like to. But obviously, it's a different level of service. And so it's not eyeglass stores that are necessarily ripping people off. No, they provide a good service. And most optometrists try to help people as much as they can. Mm-hmm. But it's a totally different economic scale.
It's so expensive.
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, some of the industry, I can name names, mostly Luxottica, that are intent on keeping and driving the price up.
Right. And it's interesting because there's a parallel between like Tesla, when they started selling cars off their website. And there was some states that said that was illegal. You had to sell them through a third party, which was a car dealership, because that's how they had set it up. And Tesla pushed through it, and they didn't want that because there was this middleman that was making a whole bunch of money on it.
Yes. I didn't answer your question fully. So your question was, okay, did the industry have a pushback? Of course they did. Yes, because they're now confronted by some competition that they cannot compete against. So they feel basically threatened, which is natural. So they're going to try to, the worst element of it, they try to make you illegal, which they did. We got attacked by the industry optometrist associations. But a lot of optometrists basically said, okay, the environment, the world is changing, and they're providing a better service or a different service. But a lot of the industry, basically, it's not the FDA, it's the industry, optometrist organizations that really try to attack you. They didn't get anywhere. And so it's going to be a little harder with IQ, but actually it's going to run through the same experience. You can't stop the progress of innovation. You know, you just can't. Yeah. And in as much as they would like to, okay, we don't sell horse buggies anymore. That was the old, no, it was the horse, the buggy whip industry or whatever. No, things change. And hopefully, most of the time, for the better.
Exactly, exactly. And I think you'll just bang your head against the wall if you're trying to stop innovation, because it is going to happen no matter what. So the smart place to be is at the forefront of innovation, like you are.
Yes. Yeah. And so, as I said, I'm sort of a techie. I love technology, and I have an insatiable curiosity and interest in learning about things, which helps. I mean, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you should have that characteristic, that drive, that curiosity. You really should. And you should have that, and you should have passion. And that's going to be a very long way to help you to succeed. Yeah, and then, of course, you have to find, if you're going to get into some business, you have to find somewhere where you can solve a problem.
All right, Tibor, this has been a fascinating conversation. So 20 years ago or 15 years ago, somewhere in there, you came from engineering, you came from computers, and then you went for an MBA, and you started a company now that has, like you wanted to, transformed an industry, helped millions of people get eyeglasses that couldn't. I would like to know, if all of it was to end today, Tibor, just looking back on this journey, can you tell me how you feel about it up until today?
Well, there's a certain amount of self-satisfaction and actually doing it and mostly helping people. And the journey isn't over in my viewpoint at all. As a matter of fact, I'm still looking at Zenni as really just sort of a shoot out of a seed. The tree is yet to grow. And so there's a huge, huge potential to really help billions of people out there. I mean, we sold about 24, 25 million glasses so far. Well, that's still a drop in the bucket. As far as I'm concerned, and with the added value of IQ, I still feel that my journey is really just beginning in a lot of sense.
Your journey has definitely just begun, and 24 to 25 million pairs of eyeglasses is quite the start. And I really, truly look forward to seeing where you take this ultimately. But once again, Tibor, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing so openly with me and with the listeners. It's been a great time.
Thank you.
Tibor, Tibor, Tibor. I love this. I absolutely love this. So the essence of creating a successful business in Tibor's mind, or in following his footsteps, which he's obviously absolutely knocked it out of the park, is find something that you're passionate about, right? And so in this essence, I don't remember throughout the conversation, maybe I missed it, but I don't believe that Tibor has this passion for eyeglasses necessarily, but he had a passion for creating something that was disruptive. And then, as he goes on to say, that solves a real problem for people. Again, if you have eyeglasses, if you are one of these people like myself who wears glasses, you know the problem of sort of like market control on the glasses industry. And the fact that, I mean, up here in Canada anyways, you had to spend $500 or $600 just to buy glasses before. And now Things like Zenni have completely transformed that industry. It was a passion to make people's lives better and a passion to solve a real problem. Now, that's not to say that you have to go and sell 15 million pairs of something. It doesn't have to be on that scale necessarily, but you do need to be passionate about what you're going to start, what you want to build, and it absolutely has to solve a real problem that people have. Tibor, thank you so very, very much. That was a lot of fun. All right, remember, whether you're still thinking about starting your first side hustle or your first business, or you're a longtime business veteran, if at any point during your journey you decide that you want more from me, more from yourself, that you want to get serious and take the next step and become not just a dreamer, but an entrepreneur, I want you to know that I'm ready for you. And if you're looking to create a profitable online business, I've created just the thing for you. Go to roadmaptofreedom.co and you can grab the 21 steps to starting a profitable online business absolutely for free. That's roadmaptofreedom.co. All right, well, that wraps up this episode. I hope you enjoyed that nearly as much as I enjoyed getting to talk to Tibor and getting to share the conversation with you. As always, hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Make sure to check out the blog. We've been writing kind of like fools over there with the sole purpose of making you better and making you be able to start the business that you want to start. Plus, we'll have the show notes from today's episode over there for you to check out. All right. It's been an absolute blast. I absolutely 100% appreciate you stopping by, as always. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.